Under head coach Neil Brown, the format for the Gold Blue Sprint game has morphed a bunch of times. It's all about fostering competition, having fun, and engaging fans. There's no better way to do that than by bringing back two of the most notable Mountaineers of the past two decades in Pat White and Pat McAfee. It set the stage for what really was a memorable day at the Gold Blue Spring Game at Milan Puskar Stadium, closing the door on spring football and starting the countdown to August 31st against the Penn State Nittany Lions here at NPS. And we're here to break down the action in the Gold Blue Spring Game for you on the Golden Blue Nation podcast. Nick Farrell here alongside Angelica Trenone, play-by-play and sideline reporter, by the way. Shameless plug for today's Big 12 Now on ESPN Plus broadcast. Angelica, you look fried.
I should have went more on the SPF. That was definitely one of my regrets of the day. However, getting to interview Pat White and Pat McAfee and having Pat McAfee accuse Pat White of cheating early on in the game definitely made up for it. I even asked Pat White after the game, I said, you know, Pat McAfee was calling you a little bit of a cheater over there. And he says, did he look at the score? He beat us by 10. If I was going to cheat, I was going to win. But an awesome day. Neil Brown said he wanted the spring game to be fun this year. I would say he absolutely delivered bringing those two legends out. And then, of course, having Don Nealon here, too.
Oh, for sure. Mission accomplished. And a great note on Coach Nealon. Of course, this spring game marks the 40th anniversary of the start of the partnership between WVU Medicine Children's and WVU Football. Over the last 40 years, the football program has donated more than $800,000 to benefit the Children's Hospital across the way. All right, let's get in to the numbers, to the action, to what we saw today. Quarterback-wise, let's start there. Garrett Green, Nico Markiel. Garrett suited up for the green, or the gold team. Green, gold, got it. Markiel suiting up for the blue team. I think we saw some signs of growth from Nico. Had a great touchdown pass to Hudson Clement. I believe that was in the first half of the game. Coach Brown has said that Markiel might just be the most improved player on offense. For Green, the challenge from Coach Brown has been, can you take your completion percentage up a few notches? Last year, he was about 53-55% on completions. Coach Brown wants to see that go to 60-65%. And hey, as it turns out, I know it's the spring scrimmage. You're not winning national championships or Big 12 championships on this day, but 62% in the spring game, not too bad.
And I know people will look at the performance of GG and be like, oh, he didn't throw any touchdowns. But as Neil said during the broadcast, when you're playing a game like this that he wanted limited contact, it's going to be hard for a guy like Garrett to perform the way that he would, just because we know he wants to take off and run at any moment. And there were a couple times that I was standing over there on the gold sideline that he kept coming off the field a little bit frustrated, it seems, with himself there from that standpoint. But good to see, like you said, Nico Markiel improving. We've heard a lot about him and just really the relationship he and Garrett have. We've talked a lot, too, about the relationship with the receivers. I knew we would get a Huddy Tutty today. I knew that we would. Great to see Preston Fox in the end zone, too. But this is one of those, everybody likes to put a lot of stock in the spring game. And to me, I mean, we know what we're getting with Gigi, right? If he can't be out there running wild. So I think from a quarterback standpoint, probably a little bit hard to evaluate. But other than that, some of the receivers looked pretty good on the passes that they were catching.
Yeah, so let's talk skill positions. Give me a running back or wide receiver or tight end that you thought had a really great day today.
I thought, especially there at the beginning, I wasn't ready for Clay Ash. I even had said to Coach Brown, you know, Jaheim kind of had a big performance last year, and it seemed there in the first, there was like, what, four or five consecutive plays that it seemed like they were getting him. And, you know, I actually, as much as we love Jaheim White, again, we already kind of know what he can do. So I like that we got to see a little bit of Clay Ash, a little bit of even Judah Price in there a bit, because you have to think, behind CJ Donaldson, who's recovering from an injury, unfortunately for him, the injury bug has followed him throughout his collegiate career. Jaheim White, I mean, you can only ask so much of a one-man show, right? So behind Jalen Anderson, I think West Virginia needs to be able to build some depth at running back. And it was at least good to see some other guys out here showing they were capable of not only running the ball, but also getting involved in the pass game too. I know Coach Brown said at the beginning of the spring, he thinks the running backs are going to catch a lot more passes this season. That's been an emphasis. So to me, I like seeing some of the new guys out there. And I'll let you know who I pick on defense as well.
Yeah. Oh, let's get into that. So for me, Traylon Ray, great game. You know, I really think that Jaden Bray has huge upside. Oklahoma State transfer. Just seems like he's going to be a really reliable guy. They have six of their top seven returners, pass catchers returning, I should say. One of them's Cole Taylor, didn't see him. He's been injured and slowly making his way back. But six guys that you return, including Taylor, with at least 10 catches last year, plus you have Bray, who could really be a guy that maybe catches 25, 30 balls. I mean, they've got really great depth, and I think that was on display today. All right, let's go to defense, because I know we started with offense. Everybody wants to talk about the quarterbacks, right? But defense, to me, stole the show today. There were some guys, big-time players making playmaking-type plays out there on the field today.
You brought up Jaden Bray. They say that they call him Optimus Prime because he has grown man strength. So what do we call Josiah Trotter? Because you want to talk about grown man strength. Josiah Trotter does not look like someone who is really gearing up for just his first year of collegiate football since he had a miss last season. Love to see that he got a pick. I was waiting all game because he's been one of the most talked about players of the spring. And just seeing him out there, you can really see the changes that he made in his body and just the way that he was moving. I'm really excited to see what he can do out there. And of course, I mean, you come away with an interception, always going to be a good day. So Josiah Trotter has my vote for on defense.
Yeah, that's hard to top. I mean, the son of Jeremiah Trotter, an NFL star, former NFL star, brother of Jeremiah Trotter Jr., who is, I believe, an all-conference, maybe even all-American linebacker. He previously at Clemson. So that's a great pick. You know, I really thought a couple of newcomers really stood out to me. Israel Boyce, well, he's listed as Israel Boyce on the roster. Jacob Boyce is what he prefers to go by. Laid an absolute licking on a receiver. I think it was Jarrell Williams coming over the middle. I mean, just lit him up, and you really don't see that in the spring game. Williams still made the catch, but still, Boyce is a guy that has Coach Brown's attention. So he's one for me. Zay Jennings made a great read on a two-point conversion for an interception that scored points for the gold team. So he's another one. And, man, we have to talk about Trey Lathan real quick. I mean, maybe Trey Lathan didn't have an outstanding spring game. Maybe he wasn't getting tackle after tackle after tackle. But he absolutely won the red carpet, blue carpet before the game, showing up in that Neil Breezy shirt. I mean, I know that you want one of those.
I think everyone wants one.
Yes, I do.
And the funny thing is, I saw on Twitter, I mean, it was like 2 minutes before they came out here to start, and he was already tweeting, hey, don't worry, you guys, I'm going to put these shirts on sale. Oh, gosh, I have you guys. I loved some of the pregame fits. Of course, Grayson Malashevich came out here on his little scooter, but he did his best as his Marty McFly. He brings the creativity year after year. Last year was that giant fur coat that he wore. But, yeah, the Neil Breezy shirt, and, of course, our guy, Big Quay, big 66 out there showing out as he always does.
Camel coat, three buttons, all buttoned up, and my guy showed up in a winter coat for a day that ended up being about 90 degrees when you're standing on the turf like we still are. A couple of other defenders that stood out to me, Aiden Garnes, interception on the day. The guy from Duquesne who's trying to make that FCS to Power 5 jump. Think that he showed some signs today. Maybe didn't see as much, though, as we thought we would from Garnett Hollis Jr., the transfer from Northwestern. He's a guy that Coach Brown has touted as an NFL-type cornerback. I think that really the goal might be for one of those two guys to follow the Beanie Bishop blueprint, come here for 1 year and really make a huge impact. And of course, Bishop is hoping to hear his name called today as the NFL draft winds down. But I think you saw a little bit in the secondary. You saw a little bit in the middle of the defense, some linebackers making great plays for sure. So let's listen into what Coach Brown thought about today's game here on the Golden Blue Nation podcast.
You know, really good day back in Milan Pushkar. Appreciate the fans for being here. Thought it was a great atmosphere for a spring game. Tried to make it a fun, something different. A lot of fans on the field right now interacting with our players, a lot of young, maybe future Mountaineers that are out there. So I think that's a really good experience for them. We had a ton of recruits here, both 25, 26. Almost every one of the players that's in our 24 class that haven't enrolled yet. Most of our walk-on class that's coming in July, they were here. So I'm very, very thankful for Pat White and Pat McAfee coming back. Blaine definitely played a role in getting them back and wanted to do something where they could be around our players, you know. And, you know, Pat White's been coaching And so he's been tied up, and so he hasn't had an opportunity to get back. So to get him back here and kind of reintroduce him to our players, you know, I think them watching him and understanding, man, like what a special talent he was. And then Pat McAfee, who's probably the most recognizable face that's associated with West Virginia right now, to have him back here. And I thought it was important to, in a situation where he could be around our players. And it wasn't something that we wanted to overpromote or anything like that. Just wanted to get him back around the football program. So very appreciative of them. That added something. Our guys were excited about that, and our fans were. You know, today, you know, to be determined, you know, as far as the football, there were some things that I thought were really good, and there's some things that we got to get better at. You know, going later, you're always hesitant to tackle, so we didn't tackle as much today as we have probably in the previous spring games, just because we're so much later. But I think we did come out of it relatively healthy. You know, today was about I want to put pressure on our specialists and where they had to perform with all eyes on them. It's kind of the first tee mentality. You know, you step up to that first tee and all the eyes are on you, and you got to perform. And so, like, Michael Hayes came out and piped one, and then we brought RJ in, and RJ went 54, and he's had a great spring. And so that was impressive. And then Leighton Bechtel, who's been in our program, he's a phenomenal holder, but he had some big balls in front of Pat McAfee. I thought that was pretty cool. And he hit some big punts today, so happy for him. And then offensive defense, it was really, I wanted to, these guys that are stepping into bigger roles. You know, I wanted to have them show our fan base what to expect. You know, it could be new guys like Zay Jennings. You know, he's a guy that we're really excited about. He showed up today, you know, quite a bit. Maybe it's a guy that's Josiah Trotter that redshirted last year and is getting better. Trey Lathan, who's coming off an injury. You know, a couple offensive linemen, Johnny Williams, Nick Cray, those type of guys that are going to step into increased roles. Like, this spring game is the first time that they've been put out there. And so I wanted to see them perform, and I thought those guys did a pretty good job. But overall, pleased with the spring. You know, now we're kind of going into the next phase, which next 48, 72 hours, you go through, you know, the portal deal. And, you know, I'm just not a fan of the spring portal. I get the portal. You know, it's, you're just running out of time when you have the second window. But it is what it is. We just want to know the rules, and we'll play by them. So, you know, most important thing is continuing to hold on to our roster, and then we'll look to add some pieces potentially in May. And so, with that, we'll take some questions.
Neil, I know this could be an extensive answer, but give me the Reader's Digest version of what you learned this spring, good and or bad.
Yeah, I think that we're a hungry team that likes to compete. I think that was evident in how we went about our business practice 1 through 14. That shows it's a group that likes to practice. You know, been stressing, you know, to our coaching staff is we want the best people that love football. And, you know, I'm not saying everybody on the roster is there, but, you know, a lot of our better players really love football and love to compete. And so that was evident as we went through the spring. I think that the winter program was really good for us. You know, I thought that we did a couple different things, and I thought that we were stronger, especially on both line of scrimmages, which is something we wanted to. I think our mids, you know, our skills, that's, we got to continue to work, you know, over the summer. But I was pleased with that. I think we continue to be a team that's physical. We've tackled. We've worked tackling a bunch. We're better. I think we're going to be better on our coverage units, on special teams. That was a point of emphasis. You know, I think we've developed some depth on the offensive and defensive line. You know, we've got more guys we feel good about. You know, there's great competition in our linebacker room. You know, our receivers are making the step that we thought they would year one to year two. You know, we need CJ to get healthy in the running back room. You know, Jaheim, you know, will continue. Today wasn't a deal where he really shines, but I think he's got a chance to be an elite player, and he's had a nice spring. At defensive back, we're still a work in progress. There's some the new guys. Jaheim Joseph missed the day, but he'll be back. He had a he missed the last week or so, but he nothing serious. He'll be back. Garnett's going to hurt or help us. And I think some of those freshmen, you know, we have some guys back there that have played some snaps at safety, and those guys, we continue to move them around, and they have position flex. But there's some new faces back there that are going to make an impact. You know, I think we're in good shape with our specialists. You know, I talked about Brinkman, I talked about Bechtel Holding, you know, both, I think we have two quality field goal kickers, and they both showed that today, and then our punting's in good shape. So that's kind of a quick recap without, you know, I'd probably have a better answer for you, you know, at the end of next week after going back and really watching it all, but just as a quick kind of update.
You mentioned Nico, one of the best players outside of two throws maybe. He had a really nice day.
He did, and he'd like to have that one throw right before halfback. You know, it's those are great teaching moments, you know. 6 seconds. It's hard to replicate that in practice, and so I'm glad we got it on tape because we can coach off of it. You know, the deal is you got 6 seconds, and so you want to make sure you got to throw it in the end zone, or you got to kill the clock and give yourself a chance to get 3 points. You know, the only thing you can't do there is turn it over, and he didn't see him, you know, so that's a teachable moment. It'll help make all those quarterbacks better because that's something we can talk about as we're teaching situational football moving through the summer. But he's very, very much improved. You know, one of our most improved players on our entire team.
Hayden Guards picked today. He's had picks in practices.
Talk shows about up. And it's one of those new guys in secondary. He loves to play. Very competitive. He can run. Can play multiple positions. He's flashed all spring.
You talked about Pat McAfee earlier. How does having a guy who's so prevalent in the media world and so popular help with recruiting, just having him around?
Well, I think that, you know, from a recruiting standpoint, we really hadn't thought about it a whole bunch. It was more to me about, you know, you can – whatever your dreams are, whatever you want to pursue, you know, whether it's in the game of football or outside, those dreams can be realized right here at West Virginia. You know, right here in Morgantown. And that's the thing, you know, like sitting in Frazier's uncle's house last night with that family and sitting across and Dante Steele's being there and goes and has a great rookie season. And then Zach's the 51st pick in the draft. And then you've got Pat McAfee who's coming in, who's got maybe the most popular show in the entire country right now. And it's just, to me, all right, I'm going to go down and visit with some people at the Cancer Gala tonight at the Greenbrier, kind of some who's who of West Virginia people. And the thing that I try to tell our players is any dream you have or anything that you want to achieve in life, you know, you can achieve those things going right here through West Virginia University.
How would you evaluate Garrett last year at the spring game? Kind of was a separator for him. Where is he now? Because we did start spring with a lot of things that he needed to work on despite all the hype he was getting in the offseason.
Yeah. You know, the start of the spring was tough for him because he lost his grandfather, and so that was an emotional time. And I thought he really, on Tuesday of this week, had a really sharp practice. Thursday we did like a red zone period, and he was really sharp. Today he was okay. He wasn't great. He wasn't bad. He missed one hitch. You know, the play that's going to upset him is the one where he could have made the play on the pass where he I couldn't tell. Those are hard catches. I will say this. Those are hard catches because the ball was kind of right over his head. But that's the one that he's going to lose sleep over, is not catching that touchdown pass.
You know, you mentioned kind of reintroducing Pat White. Are current players, like, too young now to really
know about him? I don't want to age him. I don't want to age him, but it's getting there. But, like, when you show them the highlights, they're like, oh, okay. You know what I mean? Like, and because, you know, he just, you know – watching some of the stuff, just kind of refresh our guys, like what a special talent, you know, what he did. And it's pretty. I had Rasheed introduced him in front of the team today, and it was about a 5-minute introduction because he went through all those accolades. It was pretty cool.
Despite the ill-fated efforts of President Biden and his wealthy New York friends, West Virginia coal is thriving and being shipped to 45 countries worldwide. Given its high quality and clean-burning properties, countries across the globe are demanding and consuming it, and in-state production continues to grow. With billions of dollars of recent investment in West Virginia mining operations, combined with the reliability of our coal-fired electric manufacturing facilities, West Virginia coal is here to stay. No other fuel in the world matches West Virginia coal for base load generation and steel making. Like a good friend, it's always been and always will be there, keeping the lights on and contributing greatly to our growing economy. In fact, coal continues to sustain 50,000 plus West Virginia jobs, putting food on the table for Mountain State families. Visit friendsofcoal.org to learn more. A message from the Friends of Coal.
Golden Blue Nation podcast continues. Nick Farrell here alongside Angelica Trinone as we put a bow on the Gold Blue spring game, which the gold team won by 10 points, 34-24. So that means Pat McAfee, gold team coach, gets bragging rights over Pat White, blue team coach. I mean, it was a super, super cool experience to have both of those guys here today. And McAfee, man, he is an animal. That guy was chasing after players who made big plays, running to and from the locker room. Maybe said some things on the ESPN Plus interview with you, Angelica, that some people were like, oh, no, did he really just say that? But, yeah, I mean, the dude is a legend, like a living legend. Both of them are. It was super cool to get to experience that today.
And, hey, he told me great job after that interview. He said, Angelica, great job. I was like, are you hiring? Sorry, no offense to this podcast and you standing right here, right? But I'm like, you tell me I'm going to do a good job. Thanks. He cracked me up. Was it halftime? He went absolutely running off the field after that interception right before. It was so cool to see him down there, but I did get a laugh of him saying he had a little too much Morgantown water last night. You saw maybe some videos, some pictures going around. You know Pat McAfee left no stone unturned here in Morgantown in his quick trip. But, yeah, just to have him back here, and I even asked Garrett. I mean, he's talking to Garrett during the game. Just such a great opportunity for, I think, some of these guys just to really see what they can become, you know, playing here at WVU. And we got to give, I know Blaine Stewart really was the one who had a hand in bringing these guys back, but a clip is being shared of Coach Brown here in 2020 on the Pat McAfee show. He's been telling him he's more than welcome. He wants him back. It may have taken him a little bit, but man, he delivered. He got Pat McAfee back here.
Blaine Stewart and Pat McAfee, they're boys. Like, they were on the sideline. It was as if it was like back to their playing days. And I know that they didn't play at the same time, but that's what I just kept thinking about. Like, man, Blaine Stewart seemed like he was living the dream. And honestly, that's got to be how the players felt today too, because, yeah, you get to perform in front of a legend like Pat White or Pat McAfee. Imagine some of those specialists out there, right? The whole for the brand thing. And we've got these punting and kicking competitions out there. Man, that is probably got to be nerve-wracking for some of those kids, because you do not want to screw up in front of the GOAT, Pat McAfee.
Yeah, I think definitely pressure on the specialists today. And two, I know that normally Neil Brown does like to start with a special teams competition, but I'm like, my goodness, put some pressure on him early. You start out with special teams, and you have Pat McAfee over there. I do think, while we're talking about the competitions, you know, they do offense, defense, they bring a fan in. Could we get media involved? Wouldn't you like to see some people who cover this team? We have a media. We just pick random media members and we put them in there in the challenge.
This is very dangerous. This is very dangerous because we are entering, you have to be careful what you wish for, territory right here. Because, like, if the wrong person hears this thing, you are absolutely getting trotted out there to do a one-on-one blocking drill against somebody else next season. I think that this needs to happen now because you asked for it.
I didn't say blocking drill. I saw a lot out here of, you know, quarterback drills, throwing some things. This is still me just trying to get to be able to do the shopping cart shootout of basketball. That's really all.
Yeah, facts. Okay, fair enough. We caught up with Pat McAfee and Pat White during today's spring game. Let's listen into those conversations.
Key to success today?
Well, the key to success today was, just kind of let the boys do what they do. But also, those refs were a little biased early. You know, they saw Pat White. They understand that Pat built this entire place, so they started giving him a little bit more calls than our team. So I had to work him a little bit, had to chat with him. But things really evened out in the second half, and you watch our team just pull away. You know, we had a touchdown. We go for two. We kill them. Go up 10 with 2 minutes left. That's the game. I think that's our mentality on the gold team. We're going to we're going to put our boots on throats. And it was great to get a big time win. Lucky to be here.
What'd that Gatorade bath feel like?
Yeah. To be honest, after the Morgantown waters that I had last night, I probably should have done that a little earlier in the morning. It was refreshing. It felt great. It was unexpected. And yeah, I'm undefeated as a coach. So anytime you're in a game with an ice bath, that means good things happen, and the boys showed up today.
One last thing, your thoughts on Garrett Green today?
GG is going to run wild, brother. I mean, that's what GG does. He's also an incredible leader, which I got to see. I've heard about some other things that he's potentially hosting with the boys. I love everything about what I've learned about him, not just the on-the-field stuff, but the intangibles, like leadership. The boys like him, and he can spin it. And obviously, you got that Italian on the other team too, Nico. He's doing a little bit too much. He needed to put a little mozzarella to kind of slow that thing down a little bit. But, yeah, I really love where the team is. And at all the important positions, we got the right people, it feels like.
Well, Pat, sorry, one more question. What's it been like for you to come back and have a reception like this after, you know, an NFL career?
It was cool. It was really cool to be back. I mean, we're at some of the watering holes last night, and it was nice to see the people. It was nice to experience it. And, yeah, it's been a blast. And the weather's been perfect. So, glorious trip back to Morgantown, as it always is.
Pat, what was your thoughts on the blue team's performance today and just the spring game in general?
I think the guys performed well. They competed for four quarters. We just had a loudmouth over there who got in the ref's ears and made it a little bit more difficult than what it should have been on us.
Being back on the field with Pat, what does that mean to you as someone who obviously played with him here and then just being on this field in general? What does that mean to you, a legend of this place?
He's one of the best to ever do it. I mean, he loved the game of football. You can tell he loves Mountaineers, and they love him back. So to have us back to help these guys understand what it means to be a Mountaineer is definitely a blessing.
Garrett Green, your thoughts on him?
I mean, he's a competitor. Yeah. The little guy has a lot of fire, and it shows. I mean, his teammates believe in him, so hopefully they'll continue on this road and take us to the mountaintop.
All right, let's give you our final thoughts and wrap this thing up here on the Golden Blue Nation podcast. Quickly to recap, the Iron Mountaineer Award winners, there were five of them today recognized at halftime. Austin Brinkman, the long snapper. Wyatt Milam, the left tackle. Preston Fox, the wide receiver. Garrett Green, the quarterback. And Sean Martin, the defensive lineman. All five of them picking up Iron Mountaineer accolades. That, of course, recognizes the team's top performers in the offseason strength and conditioning program led by strength coach Mike Joseph, one of the most respected strength and conditioning coaches in all of Division I college football. And then a really terrific story. Avery Wilcox earns the Nikolich Award, which is given each year to the program's top walk-on in memory of Tommy Nikolich, a former Mountaineer in the late 70s and early 80s who died of cancer in 1980. What makes the Wilcox story so unique, though, is it's the first time that a father-son tandem has ever won the Nikolich Award. His father, that being Avery's father, Ray Wilcox, a former Mountaineer linebacker, won the award in 1992, the very early days of the Nikolich Award. And here's Wilcox, Avery Wilcox, winning it today in 2024. He had a pick against Duquesne. The kid has put in the work and really did play a significant amount last season. I believe he appeared in every game last year. And again, it's a testament to Coach Brown, the work that he has done in establishing a really strong, really solid walk-on program. Because that's what the program has really benefited from. We've seen guys like Nick Malone go from walk-on to starter, and maybe that's going to be the case at some point for Wilcox.
And look, I mean, even Hudson Clement last season, the way things that can just change in the matter of a game, and I know that Coach Brown really wanted to see some more out of the secondary guys, the DBs out there today, and I think, you know, a great opportunity, especially on defense, for a guy like Avery Wilcox to maybe battle for some more playing time. But when we talk about the Iron Mountaineers, it's crazy to me that Sean Martin, I mean, this guy has always just been gigantic, always putting in the work in the weight room. So the fact that someone like him won the Iron Mountaineer Award, I think it just goes to back up what Neil Brown has really been saying about Sean Martin since really the end of last season, talking about a guy who has an NFL type body, somebody who can maybe be in the same position that Zach Frazier was, you know, in the NFL draft, could be in that same thing next year. But I do like that GG and Preston Fox were out there, because those are two guys too who have been working extremely hard in the weight room, have been taking it really seriously, and I just know, I don't know that I could go through a Mike Joseph training thing. So, you know, I mean, you go through a whole season, but I say about Gigi and Preston too, because, you know, that's just a part of a game that I think we overlook, right? We always just want to talk about what they're doing out there on the field. So to see guys really taking things, you know, so serious, making the necessary changes, just always great to see. Always great to see those guys rewarded as well.
August 31st, can't get here soon enough. That's the regular season opener against Penn State. Nittany Lions come to Morgantown for the first time since the 1990s. August 31st, right here on Mount Sinier Field. It's going to be a great day, 126 days from now. So start that countdown. Tomorrow is 125 days away from the opening kickoff between the Mountaineers and Nittany Lions. Hey, one more thing. Uniforms, thumbs up, thumbs down, lukewarm. What do you think?
I honestly, from where I was standing, I did not get a great look at them, but I was standing by Dante Stills, and he was a big fan of the Flying WV patches on the sleeve. I am all for, I mean, I thought that they looked good from what I could see. I didn't really notice that much of a change, I would say, but always in my heart, I'm a Country Roads uniform girl. Those ones are just so hard to beat, and I know these weren't any type of special edition. These were all the traditional, but I do like that addition. I like the patch on the sleeve.
Yeah, same with me. I'm a big fan of the Flying WV on the shoulder. I'm a big fan of the shoulder stripe, and I'm also a big fan of the pants stripe. I kind of want to know what the consensus is. I've been staying off social media today, doing other things. I haven't really been scrolling, I guess is what I'm saying, but those are the three things that really stood out to me. I think it looks clean and somehow is a great mixture of the modern Nike templates that are out there and West Virginia's traditional uniforms. I really think that the traditional home and away looks are excellent in this new format for the uniforms. And also, Ren Baker did say, Director of Athletics Ren Baker did say on the ESPN Plus broadcast that there may be more surprises coming soon. I'd really love to see another version of the Country Roads uniform. I think it's excellent. Even if they don't redo it, just bring it back, because I do love it. I do love it, and I hope that it stays. But maybe more surprises coming soon. And when they do, we'll have them for you here on the Golden Blue Nation podcast. If you like this episode, please subscribe. Follow us on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and X. We're always active. Make sure you head to our website for more spring game content and more coverage of Zach Frazier's big NFL draft moment, number 54, selected number 51 overall by the Pittsburgh Steelers. There are 31 teams in the NFL. And then there are the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's a wrap on this edition of the Golden Blue Nation podcast. She's Angelica Trenone. I'm Nick Farrell. Catch you next time.